certainly a great privilege to be here. It's been a wonderful Congress so far. You can tell the success of a Legion Congress with how many people participate. So if you have 100% participation, for example, if every person here has made at least one comment, then that means it's a successful Legion Congress. So my dad and I just got back last night from a little Legion trip. I had been asked to speak at a Legion Congress up in Toronto on Saturday, Memorial Day, the day before Memorial Day. And so I asked my dad to come along. And what we did was, we instead of flying up there, we decided to drive and visit Legion councils in all the different areas. So during the last 12 days, I actually gave, we met with two synodists, two regi, and two comitia in six different states. We actually drove through 11 states, and we drove 2,700 miles in the last 12 days. So on the way up to Erie, we called ahead, and they arranged for me to give a day of recollection. So I gave a retreat to the Erie, Pennsylvania Legionaries, had about 50 there for that retreat. And then we went up through Toronto, and their Legion Congress on Saturday had 250 active members in Toronto, a lot of very young members in Toronto. Now, very few of them are native Canadians, okay? Maybe about five people were native Canadians. I would say about 60% were Filipinos, about another 20% were from India or Sri Lanka. We had people there from all over the world, Ecuador, South America, Trinidad, Grenada, I mean, people from all over the world. So Toronto is just a very international city, but the Legion is very strong up there. Then we went down to Detroit, and in each of these places where we would go, when we called ahead, they arranged to get legionaries together, and I would say a mass for all the legionaries, usually around 6 in the evening, and then after that, we would have a potluck dinner, and then after that, my dad would give a talk about Frank Duff and some Frank Duff miracle stories. I would then give a talk, and then while I was getting my juggling stuff ready, because I did a juggling show, because since we didn't fly, I could take my machetes with me and my baseball bats and bowling balls and tennis rackets. So I did a juggling show in each of these places, and then my dad sang some Legion songs, and we had a wonderful Legion evening. So Detroit actually has a regia also, but it's underneath the Cincinnati Synodists. We had 125 legionaries showed up for the Legion evening. In St. Louis, we had 130 legionaries, as well as eight priests showed up. So we had wonderful turnout of Legion spiritual directors from the St. Louis Synodists. And then Cincinnati, we had 50 legionaries, and Pittsburgh the other night, we had 50 legionaries. So in the travels of the 11 states, we actually met with 650 legionaries and 20 priests. So hopefully it did some good for the Blessed Mother and for the Legion, because we're able to give a lot of talks and share a lot of ideas with them. Now, the topic for today's Congress is a wonderful topic on the Legion system of formation for Marian apostles. And I'd really like to talk about how the Legion actually not only forms Marian apostles, but forms well-educated, holy Marian apostles. I believe those are really three qualities of an apostolic legionary, that in the Legion system, they become, in the Legion, well-educated, they become holier, and they become Marian apostles. So I'd like to talk about that during this wrap-up talk of the Congress. Now, in the Legion Handbook, there's a little section about the Legion system, and it says that the Legion system is so valuable because oftentimes natural resources are unharnessed. What the Legion does is that it brings together people, it directs people's enthusiasm, and it systematizes their zeal, and it gives them a real system to grow in holiness. And it actually says the Legion is more a way of life rather than an organization or a movement in the church. And that's one thing we should always remember, that the Legion gives us not just a an organization to belong to, which is, of course, a great thing, but it gives us a way of life. It says that in return for our Legion membership, the Legion will give us many things. It'll help us to grow in perseverance, in the qualities of Christian perfection, which are faith, love of Our Lady, fearlessness, self-sacrifice, fraternity, prayerfulness, prudence, patience, obedience, humility, gladness, or joy, and the apostolic spirit. So really think of those things, and I'm sure I've been in Legion for 29 years. I joined when I was 10 years old, a little bit younger than this fellow over here. And I've been in for the 29 years, and I think that all of us can say that if we've been in Legion for a couple months or 5 years or 10 years, that that what the handbook says is true, that we receive all of these things, greater love for our Lord and the Blessed Mother, an increase in faith and courage and fraternity among one another, a spirit of self-sacrifice, prayer and prudence, patience, and all these wonderful virtues. And then there's a nice quote from Father Creedon, who was the first spiritual director of the Concilium. He died a number of years ago. But he talks about how the Legion is not just an organization, but for a member, it can become the staff of their earthly pilgrimage. You know, staff is something that you lean on as you're on your pilgrimage, something that you can lean on. So the Legion is something you can lean on. It says the very backbone of their spiritual life. Imagine a person without a backbone, without a spine, they would not be able to live. It's what keeps them strong and gives them support. So the Legion gives us spiritual support week after week. So that's just what the handbook says about the Legion system, and I've certainly found those things to be true. Remember that one point, though, that the Legion gives us a way of life even more so than an organization. And as you know, the Legion has been a way of life for many tens of thousands and probably millions of people. Some of you know the story of how my mom and dad met in the Legion. They were actually in different city. My mom was in Philadelphia. My dad joined a group up in Reading, Pennsylvania. And they met at a Curia meeting, okay? So if you're not married and looking for a husband, I would recommend becoming an officer, and maybe that's how you can meet your future spouse, is at a Curia meeting. So it pays to be an officer. So they met in the Legion, and for their honeymoon, they actually had 5 weeks, a five-week honeymoon. Pretty nice, huh? Mm-hmm. They weren't rich or anything. They didn't have any money, but they were able to get enough money, I guess, to fly over to Ireland, and then they stayed with Frank Duff. And first they went to Lourdes for 1 week, and they dedicated and consecrated their marriage to the Blessed Mother. As you know, they were married on September 8, 1958. September 8th is the Nativity of Our Lady. So the priest who did their wedding went with them on their honeymoon. Did y'all know that? He's the priest who got my dad in the Legion. He was my dad's spiritual director. So he went with them just for the week in Lourdes and the first week in Dublin. And then he had enough after 2 weeks. So he had to get back to his parish, but my mom and dad stayed on for 3 more weeks. And had breakfast every morning with Frank Duff, the founder of the Legion, who's now up for canonization. And they, of course, became very close to him and remained close to him until his death in 1980. So the Legion has been a way of life for my mom and dad, having met in the Legion and having spent most of their honeymoon learning the Legion system, doing assignments with Irish legionaries. And in fact, it's a wonderful place. Every legionary should go to Dublin and do the Legion pilgrimage. Did you see the issue of Maria Legionis? The 65th edition has a whole article written by Leah and Mary Acosta about the Legion pilgrimage. And you can visit Frank Duff's house and see his bicycle that he rode, and you can see his copy of the True Devotion and his rosary. And I would recommend that, just as every Muslim wants to get to Mecca during their lifetime, every legionary should try to get to Dublin during their lifetime and get to see the original Legion hostels that they were able to close down the red light district and bring those women into the Legion homes. And you can really learn the Legion history by going over there. So that would be something that you might want to consider. So Legion is a way of life. You know, it's been a way of life for my sisters and myself for the last almost 30 years. I joined when I was 10. My sister Adele was 12. My sister Naisha was about 8 when she joined. And what's interesting also is that both my sisters met their spouses through the Legion. Did y'all know that? My mom got Adele's husband in the Legion, and my dad helped to, well, he arranged the marriage between Nate and Greg, which is an interesting story because what happened was, Greg was from McLean, Virginia. He was working with General Electric up in Philadelphia, and he saw a poster in the back of church that said, come to a Legion of Mary meeting at the Brother House, which is a home for down-and-out men that my dad worked at. He wasn't down-and-out or anything. He was one of the lay Legion volunteers. But they ran this social home for men, and they would say the rosary with the homeless men. So my brother-in-law, Greg, came to this meeting, and that was my dad's presidium. So my dad was then the one who introduced Greg to Naisha. When Naisha came home from Virginia for one of the weekends, they met and then began to eventually date, and then they got married. Also on September 8th, 1990, they picked the Blessed Mother's birthday as well. And so, but it's interesting how how Greg got in the Legion, because he saw the poster. One of the legionaries in my dad's presidium, an older gentleman, had a dream, and he woke up and he said, the Blessed Mother wants posters in the back of every Catholic parish advertising the Legion of Mary. And that was the poster that Greg read and saw. So, see how God works. Now, my sister Adele, she's been in Legion since the age of 12. She's currently the president of the Philadelphia Synodus. And what happened was her future husband came into the Catholic shop up in Norristown, and my mom recruited him for the young adult presidium, and that's how Adele met Steve, was at the young adult presidium in Norristown. My mom is probably responsible for about 80% of all the legionaries in Norristown coming into the Legion, because they come into the Catholic shop and she recruits them and asks them to join. So that's how the Legion has been a way of life for my sisters and myself. And the thing is, though, neither of my sisters took me with them on the honeymoon. Mace and Greg went to the Virgin Islands, and Adele and Steve went to Ireland and Germany on their honeymoon. And they sort of followed the footsteps of my mom and dad, because they spent a week of their honeymoon in Dublin with the legionaries, and they both spoke at the Concilium meeting, which is always, I think, on the third Sunday of the month. So the Legion really is a way of life for people, and it's something that can actually promote marriages. There are many times where somebody will meet their spouse through the Legion, or if they're called to religious life, they will perhaps feel a call to become a priest or a religious sister. And that's one of the beauties of the Legion. In fact, there's a presidium in Cork, Ireland, where in 10 years they had 7 Legion marriages from that one presidium. I think it was the most popular presidium in all of Ireland for those who are looking for a spouse. But the Legion actually promotes vocation to the priesthood and religious life too, because Frank Duff once said that the Legion could solve the whole vocation crisis in the church just by itself. Wherever the Legion is strong, they have a large number of priests. Look at Africa. Africa, like Zaire, 300,000 active members and surplus of vocations. In fact, last night in Pittsburgh, we met a priest from Nigeria who has been in the Legion since he was a junior, and he talked about how the seminaries are full down there because of the Legion of Mary and Adele Quinn's work. So it does promote vocations also to religious life. We've had a number of young women, some of them, that have been in the Legion and have gone on to religious life, whether it be the Carmelites, the Poor Clares, the Dominicans, or other places. So, but the Legion, whether we're single or married or no matter what our state in life is, it can be that staff of our earthly pilgrimage, the backbone of our spiritual life. And the Legion system is such a powerful system because it really forms members and their holiness. The organization is only 80 years old, and yet we already have three members up for beatification. Frank Duff is the founder, a servant of God right now. We have Alfie Lamb as a servant of God, and Edel Quinn is venerable. So these three are on their way to becoming beatified and canonized, hopefully during our lifetime. Now, how did they become saints? Well, they became saints by coming to the same meeting that we come to and doing the same kind of apostolic work that we do, and by saying their catena every day, and by just being in the Legion and doing that with great love and great generosity and great charity. That's what makes a saint, is generosity of spirit and great love of God and love of neighbor. We also are blessed in the Legion because we have many martyrs already as Legion members. We've had in communist China, and you have to get those Father McGrath tapes to be inspired and to listen to his story, but we've had between 4,000 and 40,000 active members of the Legion were martyred for their Catholic faith. Now, we don't know the exact number. At least 4,000 were martyred, but perhaps as many as 40,000. And hopefully, one day, the Church may even canonize our Legion martyrs of China as well. So the Legion system is a system that forms well-educated, holy Marian apostles. Now, how are we formed? How does the Legion form us? And let me give you a couple suggestions, and some of these ideas you might be able to steal and use in allocutios to your members. If some of you are presidents, you might be able to pass on some of these things to your members. I found that the first way that the Legion helps to form us into becoming well-educated, holy Marian apostles is through the Legion Handbook itself, which is, of course, a spiritual classic. When somebody reads this book, they grow not only in good Catholic doctrine and theology, but they grow in devotion to our Lord, the Blessed Mother, and to the great Legion saints. The Legion Handbook is really, in my opinion, the best book we could read next to the Bible and the Catechism. Those are really the three great books, in my opinion, of the Catholic Church today: the Bible, the Catechism, and the Legion Handbook. The Legion Handbook enables us to live out the Catechism and our Bible in our daily life. The Legion is the Handbook is a synthesis of Catholic doctrine and devotion, certainly one of the great books ever written. It should be way up there on our list, along with The Imitation of Christ and De Montfort's True Devotion, The Love of Eternal Wisdom, and The Introduction to the Devout Life, and The Rule of St. Benedict, and all the great spiritual books. As you know, the saints have said the more that we know about God, the more we can love Him. So by delving in and studying the Legion Handbook, the more we can love our Lord and the Blessed Mother. The handbook is filled with scripture quotations. I counted once 173 quotations from the Bible in the Legion Handbook. Now, I really didn't count them. I just looked in the index. And I just counted the index. But also there's hundreds of quotations from the writings of the saints and the popes and church documents. And really, next to the Bible is perhaps the most studied book in the Catholic Church, because now we have 3 million active members. I've heard recently the number might be as many as 6 million active members, but I don't have all those statistics. But imagine, this book is studied every week by between 3 and 6 million people. Next to the Bible, I don't think of any other book that's really studied as much as this book. And it truly is a spiritual classic, and it gives us good spiritual reading. And as one person says, spiritual reading has produced many a saint. That's usually how people begin their spiritual journey, is by getting a hold of a good book and by reading it, and that book often helps convert them. Once my dad was trying to start a presidium in Philadelphia, and he visited a priest, and they left the handbook for him to look through, and a week later they came back to see if he was willing to start the Legion. And the priest said something very interesting. He said, "Boy, if you followed what's in this book, you would become a saint." And that's very true. And I think that's an important point. A second way in which the Legion system forms us into well-educated, holy Marian apostles is through the Legion meeting itself. The Legion meeting is a cenacle of prayer with the Blessed Mother, where two or more are gathered, there is Christ in our midst. And certainly where Christ is, Our Lady must be as well. The Presidium is a spiritual exercise, an opportunity for weekly spiritual formation, weekly spiritual direction. The meeting is a combination of prayer and discussion and spiritual growth. In the Presidium meeting, we pray our rosary together. We begin by invoking the Holy Spirit. We have our catena and concluding prayers. The meeting contains spiritual reading, the Allocutio, a study of the handbook. So it does deepen our knowledge of the faith, apologetics, Catholic doctrine. It also, I believe, it trains us to be evangelists and to be Catholic apologists. It also trains us to be good catechists, of passing on the faith to other people. Whenever we go to our Legion meeting, we're really spending time in the presence of our Blessed Mother and our Lord, truly. I've always felt that, you know, when you go into the church and pray before the tabernacle, you get graces just by being in the presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. You know, we can't see it, of course, but let's just imagine that every time we entered the Catholic Church with the Blessed Sacrament, we were bathed in a golden light, which is just a little speculation, because let's say Christ is the light of the world, which He is, and from the tabernacle exudes forth the love of Christ. So every time we're in the presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, we're bathed, in a sense, giving our soul a suntan, S-O-N, a suntan of being in the presence of our Lord. Well, every time we go to a Legion meeting, let's say we go to a meeting and the Blessed Mother is there, in a sense, we're bathed in her beautiful blue light, for example. The blue light special, let's say. The Tamar blue light special. So in our imagination, we can imagine just by being there for that hour and a half, we are being filled with Mary's love and Mary's radiance and her beauty. And so you might think, maybe I'll not go this week to the meeting, but then we miss out on being in her atmosphere, in her presence during that time. And we definitely want to be bathed in the beauty of her light during our weekly time at the Presidium meeting. The Presidium meeting does help us to develop discipline and obedience, punctuality. You know, in the Philippines, they had something what was called Filipino time. Did you know about that? I'm making a little jab at Sister Acosta over there. Because before the Legion was started in the Philippines, everybody was late for everything. It's like the way things are now in Spain, or, you know, Spanish masses, like the 2 o'clock Spanish mass starts at 2:20, right? Okay? Well, in the Philippines, it used to be that way, but once the Legion was started in the 1940s, the Filipinos became a lot more punctual. Look what it has produced, okay? The Legion does encourage us to be punctual and to develop in humility and in service and in charity. A third way that the Legion system forms us is through the weekly apostolic work, which gets us focused not just on ourselves, because oftentimes as Catholics, we're just focused too much on ourselves, on our own soul, for example, and not caring enough about the souls of others. Now, those who are just focused interiorly on their self only become what we call spiritual midgets or spiritual dwarfs. Remember, that's the quote from Father Zoll, who got my dad in the Legion. As you know, he tried for 2 years to get my dad in the Legion. Some of you new members don't know the story. But my dad refused for 2 years to join the Legion. Finally, since Father Zoll was my dad's spiritual director, one Holy Week, my dad went to confession, and the priest says, "For your penance, join the Legion of Mary." And my dad says that before he joined the Legion, his spirituality was just completely focused on oneself, on himself. And I think the priest told him that if you continue that way, sure, you might grow in holiness, but you'll be a spiritual dwarf, a spiritual midget. And he said, that's not what we want to do. We want to exercise our apostolic heart, our apostolic muscles, and be concerned for the salvation of other people's souls. And once we are concerned with other people, then we begin to grow ourselves. Remember, the Dead Sea is stagnant, filled with salt, and because it does not give forth any life. Whereas the Sea of Galilee receives the Jordan River and gives it forth. It's teeming with fish and life. That's what a legionary is. We receive at the weekly meeting our spiritual growth, but then we go out that very week and share it with other people. So it's like almost like a windmill that turns, or a water wheel is a good expression too, because we receive, but then we give. And because of that, we have a constant growth in our own life. If we, let's say the Catholic that just goes to Mass on Sunday and doesn't do anything to spread his or her faith, can become like the Dead Sea, receiving the Jordan River, but because it keeps it to itself, it becomes stagnant and no fish can grow in that. So our job as legionaries is to receive what we do at our meetings, on our assignments, and then to give it forth and to share it with other people. The apostolic work enables us to be focused on the salvation of souls, to help our neighbor, our brothers and sisters, to get to heaven. And as you know, when we come before God, he's going to ask us, did we bring anybody with us? And hopefully we'll have a whole bunch of people behind us that we've dragged along. We tell the juniors when they get to heaven, they're going to look behind them and see a lot of old people behind them. Because all the elderly people that they visited in the nursing home and the shut-ins are going to be walking up behind the juniors with their wheelchairs and canes. So the idea is that we want to bring as many people to heaven as possible. Our Lord talked about the importance of the spiritual works of mercy and the corporal works of mercy. In fact, we do almost every one of these works of mercy, with a few exceptions, like we don't give out clothing or food or anything. Other organizations take care of that. But our Lord did say that when I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you came to see me. When I was hungry, you fed me. Remember, people are hungry for God, they're hungry for the Eucharist, they're hungry for love. People are thirsting for truth, so we can help to quench their thirst by visiting them on our assignments. Somebody once said that the greatest sign of charity is zeal for the salvation of souls. Because if somebody is on the brink of losing their soul, of going to hell for all eternity, our greatest charity would be to help save their soul. And zeal for souls is the greatest form of charity. The Legion assignments, I think, help us to grow in charity and encourage. Sometimes we get assignments that we're a little bit afraid of, but we do it anyway. And we always do our work in union with the Blessed Mother. Remember the third standing instruction, the performance of a substantial act of legionary work in the spirit of faith and in union with Mary, in such fashion that in those worked for and in one's fellow members, the person of our Lord is once again seen and served by Mary, his mother. That really summarizes what the Legion is. Namely, the Legion is the presence of Mary on earth today, and you and I become her hands and her feet. So all of our work is done in union with Our Lady in such fashion that we see and serve Christ and other people. Another way in which I think the Legion helps to develop us is through encouraging us to undertake praetorian membership. Some of you who are new might not know what a praetorian member is. It's an active member who, besides coming to the meeting and doing the work, tries to attend daily Mass and Holy Communion at least, you know, 5 or 6 times a week. That would be sufficient. If a person missed once or twice a week, they could still be a praetorian member. But the ideal is daily Mass. Secondly, they have to pray the rosary every day and the whole Legion prayer card, which is the opening prayers, catena, and concluding prayers. The praetorian member says the whole tessera every day. As you know, the active members only have to say the catena every day. That's the only prayer we have to say. The Legion is sort of sneaky because it starts us out by praying about 30 seconds a day, because the catena is the only prayer you have to say as an active member. You don't even have to say the rosary every day. Frank Duff didn't want any excuses for people not getting involved as an active member. Because somebody could say, well, I could come to the meeting and do the work, but I just can't say that rosary every day. He says, that's okay for now, just join, and all you have to do is say the Catena every day. What happens, though, is after a while, people begin to pray the rosary every day and begin to attend daily Mass and really grow in their spiritual life. So for a Praetorian member, says the rosary every day, the Legion prayer card, and next they say some form of the divine office, which would be the liturgy of the hours or some other office approved by the church. So the Praetorian membership leads members into a deeper prayer life. It focuses their life on the Eucharist, centered on the Mass and reception of our Lord and Holy Communion. And Praetorian members, because they're attending daily Mass, will also go to regular confession. The Praetorian member is really the word Praetorian comes from the old Latin word, which meant the hand-picked regiment of the Roman legion. Father McGrath said that all the legionaries that were arrested in communist China, that before the communists took over, he estimates that 90% of all the active members were Praetorian members. And that's probably what gave him the grace to then endure 10, 20, 30, 40 years in the communist prison cell. The fact that they had been Praetorian members really gave them a lot of grace. Really, the last couple things I wanted to mention as things that help to form us in the Legion are really the Catholic doctrines that the Legion encourages us to live out. And these doctrines would be the mystical body of Christ and Mary's motherhood of souls. Frank Duff says that the doctrine of the mystical body is the central doctrine of Christianity. Now this means that whatever we do to another person, we do to Christ himself. He said this, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in prison, you came to see me. So Jesus identifies himself with the members of the church. The mystical body means that Christ is the head, and we're the members of his body. And Frank Duff says the Legion is based upon two doctrines, the doctrine of the mystical body of Christ and Mary's motherhood of souls. Frank Duff says that that doctrine is a sanctifying doctrine, which means that doctrine in and of itself can change a person's life once they understood it. Frank Duff really is the one who popularized this teaching of the mystical body of Christ. A lot of Catholics, if you would ask them before the Legion about this doctrine, they really would not know about it. But Frank Duff wrote a great deal about it, and because of that, it became a more widely known doctrine in the Church. And the other doctrine I mentioned is Mary's motherhood of souls, that she herself is the mother of each and every person. That Mary is the mother of Christ, obviously, but she's also the mother of the Church. And since all of us are members of his church, Mary is our spiritual mother. In fact, even those that are not members of the mystical body of Christ, namely those who are unbaptized and those who live in other parts of the world, they are still children of Mary. And because the popes have said that since Christ died for everyone, Christ did objectively redeem everyone. And because Christ redeemed everyone, Mary is the mother of all mankind. So Mary wants all these souls to come to the church, to come to Christ, and to eventually get to heaven. So Mary's been called the mediatrix of all graces. And the Legion is really the participation in Mary's motherhood of souls. Back in 1958, on my parents' honeymoon, my dad asked Frank Duff for a definition of the Legion of Mary. And Frank Duff said that the Legion is Mary's up-to-date garment of flesh. That's what the Legion is. The Church is the mystical body of Christ. I like to call the Legion Mary's spiritual presence, or Mary's quote-unquote mystical body, because we're Mary's hands and feet in the world today. You've seen the image of the Pietà, the Blessed Mother holding the corpse of Jesus after he came down from the cross. Well, the Legion is to the Church what Mary is to Christ, because the Legion allows us to help to mother the church and to pray for the church and to seek out the lost members of the church and to visit the sick members of the church. So what we do for the church, Mary did for Christ. And that's an important point to remember. So if the Legion is Mary's up-to-date garment of flesh, then you are Mary today, that Mary lives through you, works through you, speaks through you, loves through you, and because of that is taking care of the mystical body of Christ. So the Legion is really, as Frank Zepp also said, is Mary all over again. That's what he said. The Legion is Mary all over again. It's not just another organization. It's participating in Mary's maternal concern for the salvation of souls. We are Mary's eyes and ears, hands and feet in the world today. And of course, Mary's job is to lead all souls to Christ, and isn't that what we do in the Legion as well? In our Legion promise, we offer ourselves as a soldier and a child of the Blessed Mother to then be used to bring Christ to the world. And we know that the secret of holiness and virtue and grace is through the Blessed Mother. And she is the channel of all graces to the world, the mediatrix of all graces. She's been called the secret of holiness. And I would also say that the Legion makes its members holy through teaching of de Montfort's true devotion. And it was really the Legion and Frank Duff who popularized de Montfort's true devotion. The true devotion has been now taught to millions of ordinary Catholics because of the Legion. The basic teaching of de Montfort is that just as Mary and the Holy Spirit cooperated in the birth of Christ 2,000 years ago, so today, Mary and the Holy Spirit will help us to have Christ born within us and to grow within us. We think of Our Lady as the temple of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit, that she formed Christ in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, holiness is nothing less than or nothing more than being formed into the image and likeness of Christ, being fashioned and molded to becoming a living image of Christ. Therefore, de Montfort says, if Christ was formed 2,000 years ago by Mary and the Holy Spirit, if you want to be formed into Christ today, do the same thing. Allow Mary and the Holy Spirit to form you and fashion you and mold you into the image of Christ. There's many different ways to make an image. You can chisel it away, or you can put it into a mold. And de Montfort says, when we're consecrated to Our Lady, she molds us more and more into the image and likeness of Christ. When we make the true devotion consecration, we give everything to Our Lady to give to Christ, our past, our present, our future, all of our spiritual, material goods like house and money and car and prayers, merits, and indulgences. Everything then is given safely to Our Lady. We consecrate ourselves to her. We then try to live in union with her and live in dependence on her. And this means that after we make the consecration, we're not allowed to worry about anything. Did you know that? We're not allowed to worry. See, Dr. Acosta would be out of a job if everybody made the consecration. There'd be nobody to do some counseling for, right? They wouldn't have as much stress or worry in their life if people did this. So the true devotion is something really, is probably the best kept secret of the Legion, is that it really teaches people how to make and live this de Montfort consecration. And countless souls have made this consecration and have become really tremendous saints, like Saint Therese of Little Flower, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, Matt Talbot, Pope John Paul II, Mother Teresa, Mother Angelica. The list is tremendous. Father McGrath, Father Bradshaw, the Chinese Legionaries, Canon Ripley, Father Garrigou Lagrange, Father Michael Scanlon, who started Steubenville, Louis Kazmierich, who used to take the Pilgrim Virgin statue around. Jerry Conacher with the Apostles for Family Consecration. Most of the great saints and future saints have made this consecration and have lived this consecration. So these are just some of the, I believe, the ways in which the Legion system does form us. And one last thought is also, there's a couple other things in the Legion that a lot of people don't even know about, even though it's all in the handbook. And those things would be the patricians, and then some of those other functions that we have in the Legion. And oftentimes, somebody can be in the Legion for a long time and never actually get a chance to read what it says in here about these things. I would recommend that you do read the section on the patricians, because I think it's one of the best ways for Catholics and legionaries to grow in their knowledge of the faith. The patricians, for those of you who are new, is a monthly adult education course or series or a meeting that the Legion runs. And the patricians meeting, that is once a month, usually for about 2 hours. Somebody gives an opening 15-minute talk, and then they have a discussion, just like at the Legion Congress, where people stand up and make comments. Then they stop halfway through and have refreshments, and then the priest gives a little talk on that topic, and then they have more discussion and a closing prayer and blessing. So it's a once-a-month, really, adult enrichment in the faith in which we study apologetics and the Catholic teachings. Some of the topics that we discuss are things like Mary and the angels and why go to confession and the Eucharist and purgatory and the papacy. Those are some of the questions that we discuss. So I think the Legion gives us that opportunity through the patricians to grow in our knowledge of the faith that way. And then those functions, which are talked about on page 173 in the Legion Handbook. And the Legion helps us to sanctify the whole year. If you notice, these different functions are at different points of the year. It was talked about how it's a nice idea to get together to socialize and to grow in our Legion spirit. And the Legion enables us to do that through some of these functions, like the Acies, which is held always around the 25th of March, which is held around the Annunciation. And that's sort of our spring gathering of legionaries. That's for active and auxiliary members. That's when we make the consecration to the Blessed Mother. Then there's what's called the outdoor function, which is optional, but it's usually run by the Curia or even by a Presidium. They can do a picnic, or they can go on a pilgrimage, or do some other excursion. Then there's what's called the Presidium function, which is the September function. This is the one that's highly recommended that every Presidium will do. And this is held around our Blessed Mother's birthday, this September the 8th. So if you've noticed, we have first a function around March 25th, a function around September 8th. And the Presidium function is for active members or for prospective active members. And then comes the annual general reunion, which is always around December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. So see how the Legion sanctifies the year, and the three great feast days of the Blessed Mother really would be the Annunciation, her Nativity, and the Immaculate Conception. We could also say, though, that outdoor function, which is during the summer, could be around the Feast Day of the Assumption. That's August 15th, so that would also cover that feast day. The December reunion is for active and auxiliary members, and it's an opportunity to socialize and to spend time with each other. And then, of course, the Legion Congress is held usually every 2 years, and that is what you're doing today. So those are the thoughts I wanted to share with you today about how the Legion does not only make saints, but forms, in my opinion, very well-educated, holy, and Marian apostles. God bless you.